All right. When it comes to seed, what comes to mind? We all have various backgrounds. Certainly, if you're dealing with farmers, you think of certain types of seed. I'm not an expert in this area, but I would expect you'd be talking about corn, soybeans, maybe oats, alfalfa. You'd be considering these types of crops if you're a farmer. And you can talk to Nick. He probably has a longer list than I just gave you. If you're a gardener or you like plants, my wife's into plants. She's got a lot of plants upstairs under grow lights. So if you see pink lights shining from our house, that's grow lights. But she's got a lot of flowers. And if you're into gardening, there's a lot of things you could plant, from flowers to herbs, vegetables, fruits, peppers, which I'm a big fan of. So there's a lot of different seeds that produce different vegetables and fruits and herbs and flowers. Then if you're a bird watcher, which I do like to do, and I do have a little bit of amateur experience in this area, if you're a bird watcher, you also consider certain types of seeds. Cracked corn, if you got chickens or geese. You've got millet, which is a pretty common feed, but if you're really into backyard birds, there's probably two seeds that I love, and that's primarily sunflower seeds and a little bit of safflower. And you can draw a lot of birds with those two types of seeds. God established from the beginning that seed would be vital for life. Okay, all the way back in Genesis 1, he tells us, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food." So seed has been a primary component for life from the very beginning. My experience, again, is more with backyard birds. I was actually raised my dad, as far as a job, he did taxes and money and certainly involved with the church and all that sort of stuff. But as a hobby, he was in the chicken barn. We had a chicken barn with a concrete floor, plumbing, electricity, pens going all the way down. He's very much into raising chickens. In fact, he's writing a book right now on an Americana breed that people have asked him to write. He's actually developed varieties that are standardized nationally in the standards for Americanas. Developed certain, I think, I can't even remember if it was Buff Americanas, I can't remember, but he's standardized certain birds. He's really into that as a hobby, genetics and all that sort of stuff. So I was raised around that. I went to 4-H, I went to chicken shows all around the nation. I was in showmanship for 4-H. If you were in 4-H, you know what that is, I learned about the primary and the secondary feathers and the hackle and the rose comb and the split comb and the pea comb and all the different things about the bird, okay? So I was raised around that kind of setting. Now today I'm not into chickens at all. It's too much work. I had to go out and feed them and water them and clean the pens all the time. I didn't want to deal with that. So instead, I took the lazy route, and I got a lot of bird feeders for my backyard. Okay? I've got, in our little yard, if you were in town, we've got three bird houses. We've got three seed feeders. We've got a suet feeder and two hummingbird feeders, in this little yard. So I'm really into seeds as it relates to backyard birds. That's where my amateur experience is. And a few Sundays ago, I was sitting down trying to figure out, what am I going to teach on this Sunday? I knew it was coming. And about 3 weeks ago, I believe, it was 30 below on Sunday. And Sunday afternoon, I'm sitting there looking out the window, and I noticed, as I'm trying to consider what to talk about today, I'm noticing my bird feeders are almost empty and there's no birds out there. So I got up, went out to the feeders, filled them with sunflower and safflower, and gosh, within 5 minutes, the feeders were covered with birds. All right, I had chickadees, nuthatches, finches, probably house finches, goldfinches. There's blue jays, cardinals, red-bellied woodpecker came. All these colorful birds coming to my feeders within about 5 minutes of filling the feeders with seed. So I took that as either inspiration for today or a huge distraction. So we'll find out. But that's where the basis of what I'm going to talk about today came from, is trying to figure out what to teach on, and then witnessing this great throng of birds coming to my feeders eating seed. So this isn't going to be a deep theological discussion on the typology of birds in Jesus' parables, where the birds represent the evil one. The Bible elsewhere talks about birds in a more positive way. For example, it says God cares for the birds in Matthew 6. There's several passages about eagles. One of them that he bears us up on eagles' wings, if you remember that passage. It says he feeds the raven and cares for the raven. And certainly maybe the most prolific is the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove upon Jesus. So the Bible also speaks of birds in a positive light, and I'm going to go in that direction today, not into deep theological study on typology. Okay? So it's probably more in line with Jesus telling Peter, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. But I don't know anything about sheep, so we're going to talk about birds. So, more specifically, we're going to talk about the importance of seed to the vitality of the creature and the necessity of seed for the life of the creature. All right? Seed. So what is seed? It's one of the, I Googled it. Put it on Google. What is seed? There's a lot of things that come up, and they're all virtually the same thing. I liked what, certainly the flavor of a seed company, 88 Acres Seed Company, had this to say about seed and relating to just human health even. It says, seed contains all the nutrients essential for growing a healthy and resilient plant. They offer our bodies a wealth of benefits when we eat them. They call seeds true superfoods, packing high-quality proteins and heart-healthy fats, as well as vitamins and minerals, into a tiny, versatile, and delicious package. They're obviously advertising seed for people. They said, forget multivitamins. Seeds offer many of the same nutrients, as well as fiber and plant chemicals that we could never get from a pill. Seeds, all packed into this little package, right? From a biblical perspective, what does seed represent? Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:23 that you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and abiding Word of God, the Word of God. We are born again of an imperishable seed. That imperishable seed is a living and abiding Word of God. Jesus tells us plainly. He says, the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. It contains, and think about this, it contains all the nutrients to grow spiritually healthy and strong and resilient. It offers a wealth of benefits when you consume it. It's a superfood, packing high-quality teaching, heart-healthy reproof, training and instruction, and it comes in this versatile, easy-to-read package. The Word of God. Forget alternatives. The Word of God offers what we could never get from a career, from a hobby, from material things. It offers what we could never get from a relationship, from a pill, or from secular counsel. Okay? The Word of God offers that. Paul warns us, in fact, on this regard. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophies and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elementary spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So don't get caught up in vain philosophies and empty ideas, right? These some examples of this, and we're familiar with them, but some examples that we get caught up in is you can't love others until you love yourself. That's a worldly philosophy. It's unbiblical in its entirety. You deserve this, or you've earned that. Nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Word of God. It's a worldly principle. Just follow your heart because you deserve to be happy. Nowhere again in Scripture. But these are very common in the secular world. All right? It's only natural to think that way or to do that. It's only natural. You know, that's another saying that we hear out there. Or you need to stand up for your rights. You need to stand up for your rights. You shouldn't have to put up with that at work or wherever. You shouldn't have to put up with that. Okay, all those philosophies I just said. You can't love others until you love yourself. You deserve this. You've earned that. Follow your heart. You deserve to be happy. It's natural to think that way. You need to stand up for your rights. You shouldn't have to put up with that. Imagine if Jesus followed any of those. If Jesus did any of those, we would all be damned. Those are unbiblical. They're not the Word of God. They're not the seed that we should be consuming. So what are we feeding on, Christian? I'm not telling you shouldn't watch TV. I watch some TV. But you have to have filters as to what you're actually absorbing as nutrients to your spiritual health. Are we looking to alternatives to satisfy us? You know, it could be a relationship. It could just simply be buying stuff. You know, or drugs and alcohol, or pills, or secular counsel. What are we looking to satisfy us? Let me ask you a question. This is important, and I would think this would go without saying, but it does not when I get into personal counseling situations. How often are you reading your Bible? I get the answer sometimes from people that will tell me, oh, I'm reading my Bible pretty regularly. I'm in this devotional plan. And then I ask them, okay, what'd you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Don't lie to yourself. Are you in the Word daily? Are you feeding yourself daily in the Word of God? What are we feeding ourselves? You know, we've got a bookstore out here that's got, and I believe Sharon just ordered a bunch of study Bibles, ESV study Bibles and New King James study Bibles. So we have everything at our fingertips, even on your phone. It's not an issue of access. The feeders are plentiful. The question is, are we going to them? Or are we too distracted? You know, building this, doing that, buying this. What are we feeding ourselves? And are we reading? Are we studying? Are we meditating? Are we praying? And maybe most importantly, are we listening? Are we focused on what's secondary? This is an issue I see also, and I've watched this in our church. Are we focused on what's secondary while neglecting what's primary? In other words, we go to church. There's a Christian community. We attend fellowships. We ask to serve in the church, right? These are all secondary issues. You know, the church provides a house for worship. It provides pews for sitting, you know. It provides prayer for cleansing and confessing, right? And we can do that in the backyard. We can provide birdhouses. We can provide trees for perching. You know, we can provide bird baths for cleaning. But if there's no seed, if that bird has no food, it's going to eventually get sick, weak, and die. And the same thing happens to us. We can come to church. That's why people get sick, weak, and die in the church. We come to church, we join fellowship, we serve, but we have no real relationship with the Word of God. Ongoing, regular. So we need to ask ourselves, how would we characterize our spiritual health this morning? Are we growing stronger by eating this nutritious Word of God? Are we growing stronger? Are we more resilient against temptations and spiritual attacks? You know, or everybody's seen a dead bird, you know, in their lawn. You know, it's frail. Chickens, too. You ever pick up a dead chicken? I mean, you pick up a live chicken, there's health there. There's some weight there. You ever pick up a dead chicken or a dead bird? It's like picking up a feather. They've lost all their weight, all their health, all their nutrients are gone. And quite frankly, I'm afraid that happens too often with Christians in the church. Hebrews tells us the Word of God is living and powerful. Living and powerful. If we're regularly feeding on this Word of God, do our lives reflect what is living and powerful? And if not, perhaps it's time to make a change to our feeding habits. Okay? So we've established what the seed is. I want to talk about having the right seed as well. Because in the natural world, what seed do we use as backyard bird watchers? If you're into goldfinches, purple finches, house finches, and chickadees, and honestly pretty much any bird that eats seed, you get sunflower seeds. That's like the universal seed. All right. If you want to get seed, just go to Fleet Farm, get a 40-pound bag, throw it in your cart, put it out, and you'll have to buy another 40-pound bag probably in a week or two. I mean, the birds love sunflower seeds. You know, and if you're, you know, as far as cardinals, blue jays, mourning doves, especially rose-breasted grosbeaks, they're going to be returning soon to Wisconsin. If you like those birds, you can also get safflower. I've noticed, at least at my feeders, that all those birds eat safflower, especially cardinals. Cardinals seem to really like safflower. It's a little white, looked a lot like that mustard seed, but it's a white seed about that size. And again, Fleet Farm, 20-pound bag, or 40, I don't know, they probably sell them in 40 pounds too. But you get a big bag of that, walk out, fill your feeder with that, and some sunflower seed. So those are some seeds as far as backyard birds. If you like, you know, if you're into woodpeckers and nuthatches, and I had seen even house sparrows and blue jays, we'll go after suet feeders, too. That's basically seed mixed with fat. And by the way, if you want to know more about this, just ask Richard. He'll probably have a lot more information than me on this. But suet feeders is just fat mixed with a lot of that stuff. So especially in the wintertime, birds like that. So these are some of the seeds that we would get if we're looking to feed backyard birds. Okay, just as there's a variety of seeds in the natural world, there's a variety of scriptures in the Word of God. We know that. It's not one verse. There's a lot of verses in here to pick from, right? Some seed is more universal in any season. Like, it's always applicable in any situation, right? Nothing is more universal than the gospel. There is no scripture more universal probably than John 3:16. You see football guys write that under their eye, you know, John 3:16. It's everywhere. God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel message. And frankly, it can be used in any season, in any situation, to provide health. But some seed is more helpful in a particular season. All right? Cardinals prefer, in the wintertime, when it's cold outside and there's not a lot of other food, they actually prefer safflower over sunflower. Otherwise, they'll pick sunflower in the summertime. In the wintertime, they need safflower because it's higher in protein. They like safflower. Okay, same with woodpeckers. We talked about this earlier. Woodpeckers and nuthatches, they prefer more suet in the winter because it's higher in fat, and they need that during the winter months. Okay, so during a certain season, birds need different seed. They choose different seed for their health. Some scripture is more suited to a specific season. Like, let me give you an example. When you're at a crossroads in your life, like, I got to go A or B. And if I go A, it's going to have these results that are long-lasting. If I go B, it could mean this for the rest of my life. Crossroads in your life. At that point, certain verses become far more important when you're at a crossroads of life. For example, Jesus said, in that moment, when you're at a crossroads, he says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. It's a crossroads verse. What path is more suited to that seed? I remember being at his oasis, making a life decision for the rest of my life because I was on track. I was graduating high top, you know, not the very top, but honors in applied math and working at IBM, had the job landed and everything. I was going there. I'd already interned there, going back there full time. And I'm at his Oasis Music Festival in Wisconsin, and this verse came to me. It was a crossroads. Do I pursue the plan that I have for my career, which I've worked my whole life towards, or do I give it all up to go wherever God takes me with this crazy church? Crossroads. In this verse, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find true life. When another crossroads, when I was considering one other place, I wouldn't say crossroads, maybe more when you're considering your purpose and calling in this life. Again, the gospel is good, but when you're considering your purpose and calling, you need more than that, than Jesus loves you. Okay? You need more. And so the scripture provides seed for that moment. For me, it was sitting in the street level house holding a school ministry application. I'm sitting there looking at this application, and it asked me the question, why do you want to join the school of ministry? And I'm thinking, and a verse, a seed, comes to my mind. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. Go and make disciples of all nations. It's like that verse applies to your calling. It gives you direction. Okay? So, you know, are we applying the right passage in the right season? I think we're like, oh yeah, we should, and I think we understand that, but we don't oftentimes. What happens is we get to a crossroads in our life, and we say, well, God loves me. Whatever I pick is okay. God loves me. The Bible says that God so loved the world, so it doesn't matter. And we're applying the wrong seed. That's a good seed, but it's not the most healthy seed for that moment. All right? Or, you know, finding our calling, finding our purpose in this life. And we come to the, you know, we sing to ourselves, Jesus loves me, this I know. Again, that's true, but is that what you need at that moment? You know, the gospel is important, it's universal, but there's other seed that's more important in a particular season. Just as safflower is more important to the cardinal in the winter season, we need to be choosing the right verse for the right situation in the right season of our life. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, rightly handling, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be diligent about this. Make sure we're using the right verse for the right circumstance. You know? Choosing where to live. Choosing who to date. Choosing what church you belong to. Discovering what God made you to do. All of these things require a right application of the Word of God. And a wrong application could lead you astray. And you might think you're on the right path, but you're not. You're not. You need to have right application. So we need help in these seasons. Sometimes we need help from the Word. First off, Psalm says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Word itself should be giving us direction. And if it's not, in these areas, something's wrong. And I'm guessing it's not with the Word. I'm guessing it's with us. Okay, the word should be lighting that direction. But what I've also noticed is Psalms also, or Proverbs tells us, a word in season from somebody, how sweet it is. A word in season, how sweet it is. And so sometimes, at least in my life, when those crossroads come, or there's a calling being put upon my heart from God that I believe his word has directed me to go in this direction, boy, a confirmation from a mature Christian, how sweet it is. Somebody coming alongside of me and saying, yeah, I could see that happening. You know, them encouraging me. You know, I was chatting with somebody on Friday night. I've had several major callings in my life where God said, do this. And every one of them, and he spoke to me through I thought he was speaking to me through the Word of God. I was hoping, I was understanding it. But like Mary in the New Testament, I treasured these things in my heart. I didn't broadcast them. And a year later, they were confirmed by my pastors and by my church. All of them, roughly about a year later. Some of them I didn't even know what they meant. And then a year later, it was confirmed. Getting direction first from my relationship with God and the Word of God. And then receiving confirmation from mature Christians around me. This is the way to find out God's path for your life. And if you don't have that, you won't find it. It starts with the Word of God. Psalm says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. And some days I recognize that, some days I don't. But most of the time, in his presence is fullness of joy. all right, if you're on the right path. And it says, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You will show me the path of life. His word will, and godly people who know his word will help. Are we on that path? Does our life show it? I hope we are consuming the right words, the right passages, the right verses for the current season in our life. Now, going on, the area I want to spend a little bit of time in is the distribution of the seed, because it is vitally important for our own health that we have the Word of God. It's life, it's vitality to the creature. All right, it's life for us, and we have to have this. Now, sometimes people want to go minister. We talked about this earlier, secondary things. They want a service position. They want to minister. They want to do things. And that's not there. So basically, what we bring to work, what we bring to the world, what we bring to our families is something near death that we're trying to draw people into. And so we got to be really careful of that. We may think we're alive, but we're not. We may think we're healthy because, you know, we're doing this and we're at church and we're in this service position. We can brag about all the cool things we've done for God. But if we're not in the Word of God, we're bringing something that's near death to those around us. So first off, we have to establish the seed to bring vitality and life to us. And we have to establish the right seed for the right seasons of our lives. And then we can be prepared. At least we're in a place where we can actually help other people, where we can serve other people in a right way. And that's where it comes to distributing the seed. Okay? How are we distributing the seed? And just so you know, I'm learning this. And I'm not always great at this. I oftentimes get frustrated by my own ineffectiveness when it comes to counsel. And I get discouraged by lack of interest as I try to convince people about Christ. And I don't know if you guys ever get there, like, why isn't anything happening at work? Or, you know, I work at the church, so that's a little different. But, you know, why isn't anything happening in this counseling situation? Why isn't anything going on? Why is there so little interest in following Christ out there? My family, my roommate situation, my workplace, the break room. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get frustrated and discouraged. And my question to you is, what are we distributing? What are we really distributing? In the natural world, in the world of my backyard, the birds, they eat seed, especially in the wintertime. They eat a lot of seed. All right? Now, man, we don't create sunflower seeds. I don't go back there and work really hard and put a bunch of ingredients together to create a sunflower seed. Okay? I'm not deliberating and praying about how do I make a safflower seed that tastes just right for the bird. No, we already read in Genesis 1 that God created the seeds. Seed's already there. God created it. It's done. Okay? Man doesn't create sunflower seeds or safflower seeds. God created seed for food from the beginning. Okay? My job is to simply go to Fleet Farm, buy a big bag of it. I get home, and usually there's a little tab at the top. You pull that string, and it opens up the whole bag, right? I get a big cup I can find in our cupboard, and I take it, and I go outside, and I put the seed in the feeder. That's my job. It's really not complicated. Actually, the most complicated part is getting that little string out of the top of the bag, if anybody's dealt with that. That's probably the hardest part. You do it wrong, and you got to go get a scissors. You're done. But no, that's the most complicated part of it. It's really quite simple to feed bird seed. There's not a lot to it. I think sometimes we make too much of distributing the seed of the Word of God. We make it a lot more complicated than it needs to be. What are we distributing? God isn't requiring us to come up with our own words. It's not about having a great idea on how to witness to your neighbor. It's not about getting the right thoughts together to present to them, to counsel others, to convince others to follow Jesus. You know, we say things, and I find myself doing this. Forgive me. But we say, well, I think, I would. I don't think you should. I wouldn't do that because this is all coming from our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own thinking. And if you're intimidated by witnessing, if you're intimidated by counseling, then you should be if you're doing that. And I am, oftentimes. I find myself super worked up. Oh, I got to go talk to this person. I don't know what to say. I don't know how I'm going to say it. And we get all worked up. We get all uptight about what we're going to say. Right? And honestly, it can be, even in the midst of the conversation, it can be really difficult to navigate when we're depending on our own thoughts, our own ideas, and our own words. It can be difficult. It wasn't supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be that way. I spent 30 minutes arguing with someone with my words, and it's so funny because other times I'll spend 30 seconds just sharing a verse from Scripture, and I don't have to convince them of anything. The Scripture either convinces them or convicts them or rebukes them. I don't need to do it. It's not even about me. I'm just distributing something that already exists. I can think in the last week four different situations where two of them I did this way and two of them I did this way. I'm not, you know, and it's funny because it makes doing this so much easier and enjoyable, by the way. You know, counseling or evangelizing is so much more enjoyable and easy to do when it's really just about sharing a verse. And honestly, you can do it in 30 seconds. You know, I remember, I'm like, on the way to counsel somebody, I remember thinking, oh, what am I going to say? How am I going to deal with this? Well, if he does this, I'm going to have to do this. If he does this, if he says this, I'm going to have to say this. If he says that, I'm going to have to say this. And pretty soon you're all worked up and you're like, boy, it's this mathematical algorithm that you're trying to figure out what, you know, how it's going to work itself out. And then the Lord said, what about, you know, this verse? I'm like, oh yeah, that would work. That would work. It's about eight words. I said it. The person took it. And then we just hung out and talked for the rest of the time. it was it. There was nothing more to it. And there doesn't need to be. So we have to be really careful about how we're distributing the seed, and if we're actually distributing it. John wrote to us, in the beginning, just like the seed, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why not use the seed that God created in the beginning? Our job is simply to distribute His Word to the hungry soul. The hard part is recognizing opportunities, right? Do we recognize our opportunities to share the Word of God? You know, this could be anywhere. This could be in a coffee house, after church. It could be at work, during break. For me, Fridays, I get to go to the River Falls Coffee House. I really enjoy it because I feel like I get every Friday, I get an opportunity. There's not a lot of people there, but every Friday, I get an opportunity. And I had a really good opportunity this last Friday. But it's so easy to talk about all the cool stuff we're doing. Hey, we're doing this. We got Word on the Street. We got a coffee house. We got a radio station. You want to get involved with this? You want to do this? It's so easy to go there and try to convince people to follow Jesus without even touching the Word of God. You know, I'm not saying you got to be weird about it, but I mean, I could, several times, weirdly enough, people have literally pulled my testimony out of me. You know, if they're asking me for my testimony, I could use some of those verses I used earlier. If you seek to keep your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life, you'll find true life. That was part of my testimony. I can share the Word of God in my testimony. You know, somebody asks you, why do you do that? Well, let me tell you. And we can tell them all we did, or we can tell them how God influenced us through the Word of God. We can use the seed. I don't think it's as complicated. I think we just get distracted by all the peripherals, all the secondary things. And we forget that the Word of God is what is living and powerful, not our argument. Do we recognize our opportunities to share God's Word? Perhaps most of our frustrations, you know, and maybe a lot of our, you know, ineffectiveness could be traced back to our neglect of the Word of God. I'm not saying there isn't some discernment in prayer about using the right word at the right time. There is. But are we using it at all? It's my question. Are we using the Word of God? Or are we just talking about church and activities? I'm not saying it's a bad thing to draw people to church, where I hope they, from the pulpit, we teach the Word of God and we hear the Word of God. That's not a bad thing, but how are you going to convince them even to come into the door? With your own words? How are we distributing the seed? Also, for backyard birds, it's important to create a safe environment. It is. I mean, they might not know it, but it's important to their survival, all right? I use shepherd hooks, tall ones, because we have stray cats in our neighborhood, and they like to jump up at the birds, all right? So I try to use shepherd hooks that keep the birds out of the cats. I like cats, by the way, but I just don't like them when they eat the birds. Or carry bunny rabbits across the yard, which is another story. But they'll stop and look at you, and this bunny hanging from their mouth, and they'll just keep trotting away, you know. But no, I don't like it. I don't like it when they're killing other wildlife, even though they're created to do that. But I put the bird seed up high. Now, some birds still love the ground. Like juncos are coming back right now, so they're ground feeders. And mourning doves like to feed on the ground. But you can also create a safe environment up high. Like I've got feeders that have these wide wire stands on them. So the mourning doves have learned after like a few months that they can fly up their stand on that perch basically and eat. They don't have to be on the ground where there's danger lurking, stray cats, right? So you can provide an environment like that. I actually have squirrels can be, I like squirrels too, but they can be pests when it comes to bird seed. They're seed hogs. They'll jump on your feeder and you're like, why am I buying 40 pounds of sunflower seed a week? And then you look out and you see these squirrels just like chowing it all down. They'll just devour it all. So I get squirrel baffles and I put them on the, you know, they're these cones. You ever see them hanging from bird feeders? That's to keep the squirrels from jumping up onto the feeder and eating all your seed, and so that they leave some for the birds. All right, there's plenty that still falls to the ground. They're not starving in Menominee. They're eating pizza. I mean, if you look out, there's one time I'm sitting upstairs where I sat, you know, by that desk up there, and I look out, and there's a piece of pizza half eaten in the corner of the window on the third floor up here. I'm like, what the heck? And then a squirrel runs by and grabs it and goes down the side of the building. I'm like, you know, it's like squirrels are crazy. They're going to get fed. They don't need bird seed. Where was I going with this? Placing the feeders in an appropriate place, protected from things, in open areas that are highly visible. It's important. I mean, a lot of birds are flying, and they you want to have the feeders in a place where they'll actually see them and get to know where they're at. With decent perches. We need to ask ourselves, how are we doing that as a church? How are we doing that as Christians? Are we providing a safe environment to share the Word of God? You know, Jesus taught from a variety of places that were unintimidating. From a boat, from a hillside, from people's homes, on a beach, right? He shared while walking, while eating, and wherever people congregated. It wasn't only from church. I mean, he shared in places that people were comfortable and felt safe in. It's interesting, too, because he didn't continue to teach those who were antagonists. He might have corrected them and moved on, but he wasn't primarily going after them. Remember, they were actually seeking him. They were following him around as he was going to sinners like us. They were trying to trap him. You know? And so we got to ask ourselves, how are we doing that? Are we finding places that are safe and unintimidating? Maybe a person's home. It's hard right now, I realize, but it's getting warmer. We can go for a walk on the trail with somebody. You know, stand out in the parking lot. It's actually warm enough to stand outside in the parking lot and talk to somebody right now. How are we creating a safe environment to share the Word of God? And also, considering who's there. Are we away from antagonists and pests that are just going to be distractors? Because you could be trying to share with somebody who's hungry and have a distractor over here just talking away and or an antagonist on this side that's just rebuking everything you say. And or you could find a quiet walking trail and actually talk to the person. You know, are we finding a place to share the Word of God safely? Also, do we recognize when we need to step away from the situation to give time and space? This is important with birds. Some birds don't care. Listen, you can put sunflower seed in your bird feeder and be walking like this out to the feeder, and it's swinging, and a chickadee will just jump right on there and start eating away, and you're like, hi. Lift it up, it looks at you, and just keeps eating. You know, it doesn't care at all. Chickadees, I haven't done this, but I've heard people just put sunflower seeds in their hands, and the chickadees will come and eat right out of your hand. So some birds aren't intimidated. They're bold. They don't care. And chickadees are that kind of a bird. But a lot of birds aren't like that. Cardinals, like there was last night, I was looking out my window, and they're not in the phase where they're rivals yet for females. They're all together. So I had like six male cardinals in one bush last night, all red, bright red cardinals. I'm like, that's crazy, you know. So, but if I walk near that bush, they're all going to fly away. They're a little bit more timid than chickadees, right? And it's the same is true when it comes to the Word of God. You know, finches will tend to wait until you're a safe distance away after you fill the feeders. Cardinals also, they generally only feed in morning and dusk. So if you want to feed cardinals, you know, they're out there morning and evening mostly. So sometimes we need to deal with people in the same way. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to step away. If we've already shared the seed, we've given them the seed, we just need to walk away. Let them think it over. Let them mull it over privately between themselves and God. Distribute the seed and walk away. You're not necessarily needed anymore. In fact, you might be a distractor at that point. You know, my parents did this. I love them. I got confirmed in the Lutheran Church, and they gave me an NIV study Bible. And I asked my dad where I should start, and I think he said Romans or Galatians. John. The Gospel of John and Romans were the two that he told me that I should start in. And I was about 10, I believe. I can't remember when people get confirmed. I think that's about the age. I don't know. But a year later, I think I was 11. My dog, my best friend in the whole world, died. She was the sweetest dog in the world. She drank a bunch of rat poison and died. And it was one of the hardest things for me. And so I opened up my Bible and I began to read. But it took about a year before I actually wanted to read. And that was the time when I needed to read. That was a season in my life where I felt like I needed something. You know, I didn't have anybody closer to me than my dog. And so that was really hard. But my parents gave me the seed, but they didn't, you know, I'm sure they probably asked me, maybe asked me once or twice if I was reading it, but they didn't. You know, they let circumstances dictate, and I eventually wanted that seed. And I began to read daily from the Word of God. So do we do that? Do we give time and space for the Word to have its work? You know, another thing is when to distribute the seed. I think a lot of times we're waiting for that perfect opportunity. Like, okay, this is a great opportunity to share this verse. I'm going to go do this now. Or I'm really excited about the art of neighboring. I want to go neighbor, you know? I want to go share the word, and we're excited about it. It's interesting, though, because in the summertime, like right now in the springtime, when the snow's gone, in the summertime, it's like, I can't wait to get out there and go to my feeders. But I'll tell you the truth, there's less birds at my feeders right now. You know when the birds need the seed the most? When I don't want to go outside. When it's really, really, really cold. When it's 30 below zero, 3 Sundays ago, and snow's covering everything, and there's nowhere else to get food, and there's not even any insects flying around, that's when birds need the seed the most. They're most dependent on the seed for survival when I'm least desirous to go out and give them the seed. So we need to ask ourselves when we're distributing the seed, if we're waiting for the perfect opportunity or if we're recognizing where the need's the greatest. You know, I remember this when I used to mentor in the jail on Saturday nights. It's like, Saturday nights, I don't want to go and minister on Saturday nights. I want to watch TV, you know. I don't want to go visit somebody on a Sunday afternoon. I want to watch football, you know what I mean? It's like when we least are desirous to go and do it is sometimes when that person or that individual is most in need of the Word of God for survival. I think it's important for us to realize. Paul tells us that, to preach the word, and he says, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. In season and out of season. When it's 30 below and the ground's covered with snow. I call that out of season. You know, sharing the word of God when you don't want to. Counseling others when you'd rather not. When we're least inclined, maybe when that person is most in need of God's word for their survival. Now, you know, as I'm getting close to the end here, I want to talk about what success would look like in this situation. And again, I will use for one last time backyard birds, all right? What is success? And I've been watching birds for a while, and I'm sure anybody who does this has some stories. But for me, personally, when a goldfinch with a damaged wing that was left behind, usually goldfinches are with other finches. They're flying around with all of them. But when a goldfinch has a damaged wing and is left behind by its flock, but it returns all season long, and I see that primary feather sticking out, you know, and it returns all season long to the same feeder. I actually named that one. It was coming so often, it was so indistinguishable from all the other birds, or distinguishable, I should say. I can't remember what I named it, but it was a few years ago. It was coming all season long to the same feeder, and I'd recognize it every day. That's success. I had a blind house sparrow once. I'm like, I noticed it was out there and just looked a little funny, looked off. It wasn't with its flock either. Usually finches fly with other finches. And it was all by itself out there. I'm walking, I got close to it, I noticed it didn't move. I'm like, that's weird. So I got really close to it, and it's sitting on the perch right on the feeder eating. I go like this with my hand right around its head. And it didn't do anything. It didn't know I was there. Is blind. I'm sure it was blind. It didn't even move its head. It didn't respond to anything. But somehow it sensed the seed. I don't know if it smelled it or how it knew that the seed was there, and it found that perch and was eating seed. You know? That's success to me. The other, you know, I love cardinals for this. And actually, I think titmice do this, and I've actually seen finches do this too. But cardinals will do this. They're most common for this. Is when they're courting, they'll go and grab a seed, and I got shepherd's hook. Okay, so the feeders are down here, and there's these things to perch on up here in the shepherd hook. The female will sit at the top of that, right? And the male will go down, grab one seed at a time, go up to that, turn his head sideways, and he'll feed her one seed at a time. And he'll go back down, get another seed, come back up, turn his head sideways, feed her one seed at a time. It's beautiful to watch. That's what happens when cardinals are courting. They feed each other. The male feeds a female. Always the male feeding the female. You know, that's a beautiful thing to see. That's success in backyard bird feeding, right? A house finch. Now, I got confused by this a little bit because I saw a house finch and I thought, okay, that's not a good example. Because I saw these three birds that are roughly the same size and it was feeding all three of them. And I thought, that's not biblical. You shouldn't be doing that, you know? But then I heard their, I think I even told Faye about this. But then I heard their chirping and I realized, wait, that's a high-pitched chirp. That's not a normal sound for a house finch. And I looked a little closer, and I looked at my bird book, and I realized males look just like females when they're young. And these were adolescent males. And they didn't know how to crack the seed husks, the hulls open yet, or at least they were learning. And he was going from each of his adolescent chicks and feeding them one at a time, and they were just like, they were dependent on him to feed them the seed. And so it was really beautiful to watch. I realized then that they're a little smaller and they had a higher pitched chirp, you know, and that they were actually his chicks, you know, and he was feeding them. It was beautiful to watch. They'd fly to a nearby branch or over here, and he'd go between all three of them and feed them one at a time. It was beautiful. So that's success. I think you get the picture, you know. The word of God is to be distributed in the same way. All right, it's to those who are damaged and left behind. It's vital to them. It's life for them. You know, to those who are unable to defend themselves, don't even realize where danger lurks, the blind house sparrow, it's for those. We need to be distributing the word of God, and that's success. When that individual comes back again and again to feed on the word of God. You know, those who are, for those who are seeking a relationship and want some vitality, some life in a relationship. And I'll be sexist here, but the man should be feeding the woman the Word of God. He should be leading. And finally, when it comes to raising children, I really hope that we're using the Word of God. That we're teaching them how to open the Bible, reading them verses so that someday they'll know how to open the Bible and read those verses for themselves. How are we distributing the seed? I again come back to this, and I don't want to... This should be an encouragement more than a rebuke, because this is not complicated, but I'm just afraid we're just not. We're just not, in some cases, where we could be using the Word of God. It's just too easy to do something else, to portray something else, to try and raise children some other way, to try and have a relationship using other methods. Workplace, friends, family, my brothers, you know, my family. It's like, am I actually using the Word of God? Am I trying to convince people to be Christians without the one thing God created for vitality in life? How are we distributing it? So, in closing, Jesus said, and I think he wanted us to, he says, look at the birds of the air. He wanted us to examine the birds of the air. He said, look at the birds of the air. He says, they don't sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them and takes care of them. Look at the birds. But then he says, are you not more valuable than they are? Are human souls not more valuable than birds? We understand how to feed birds. It's pretty simple. Are we understanding how to feed the human soul? I hope your interest has piqued this morning as we discuss this. Not just to go get a bird feeder and a bunch of sunflower seeds and safflower seeds and put bird feeders up in your yard. Hey, I'm all for that. But that's not the main point of this message. You know? The main point is that which is of far more value. And that's the human soul. Again, Peter says, we've been born again, not of a perishable seed, not bird seed, that's perishable, but of an imperishable seed, the Word of God. And that's through the living and abiding Word of God. So, may we feed upon the Word of God every day for our own survival. May we rightly apply the Word of God to the various seasons that we're in, all right, and use the Word of God rightly. And lastly, I hope we distribute the Word of God to those around us and bring them life. Let's pray.